again to see a family who have had the weight of the world on their shoulders with a terminally ill child come, and I see tears of joy stream down their faces when they see their children happy.
Yes.
It is worth more than anything I can imagine.
Give Kids the World expresses God's love to families with terminally ill children. The chaplain will tell us about it in a few moments as we listen to Methodist Hour. Merry Christmas, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Ralph Carmichael and Frank Boggs. A touching interview with Give Kids the World and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Here are the Ralph Carmichael Orchestra and Chorus singing Over in Bethlehem. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled, A Heart for God. It is written by Connie Walsh Brown of Maryland. Connie writes, God's love never wavers. The scripture reference is from Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Where did I leave my sense of well-being? I had it only yesterday. Today it is gone. Is it beneath the piles of toys the children scattered through the house? Is it sandwiched between the layers of spills and crumbs that have accumulated in the kitchen? Did it fly out the door as we sped from one errand to the next? Where did it go? Of all the things I have lost, shoes, keys, books, best friends, the sense of quiet confidence is the one thing I can least afford to live without. All the things and people in my life, and even my noblest intentions and dreams, are not enough. They fill my days, but not the ache in my heart for God. I'm like a small child who wandered off, entranced by the colorful distractions of a crowded and cluttered store, calling now for God. God will not disappoint me, Because I know God loves me and will not leave me comfortless, I will wait for God's embrace. Lord Jesus, help me to walk faithfully by what I know and believe, not by unreliable feelings. Amen.
And now let's go to Give Kids the World, Kissimmee, Florida. I have back with me today Marty Martinson, who is a retired Presbyterian minister and is the chaplain at Give Kids the World near Kissimmee, Florida. Terminally ill children and their families come here to spend a week and to be blessed. Marty, welcome.
Thank you, Ed. I'm happy to be here with you.
And you tell me that children come from all over the world. Now, for instance, a child in Europe, how does that family in Europe know about this wonderful place?
Well, as I told you in private, there are about 300 different organizations, charitable institutions, and individuals all over the world who refer children to us. And we're known internationally, a lot by word of mouth. For example, we have a good many families come over here from Israel.
Yes.
And the Rotary Clubs in Israel.
Yes.
Are basically responsible for referring the families here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But we're getting better known all the time. Give Kids the World was started in 1986.
Yes.
The village itself opened in 1989.
Yes.
And from that point on, we're probably the best kept secret in the world.
Well, we don't want this to be a secret, because this is love. This is love expressed.
There's more love expressed here than any place I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it touches me deeply because, again, to see a family who have had the weight of the world on their shoulders with a terminally ill child come, and I see tears of joy stream down their faces when they see their children happy.
Yes.
It is worth more than anything I can imagine.
Yes, this is a fascinating place for children. Everywhere you turn, there's something that would delight a child.
We have a lot of things here for them. We have game rooms, we have the gingerbread house, we have the specially built carousel, the train rides, the playrooms, the movie theater. In fact, some of the families, once they get here to the village, would just soon stay here for the whole week.
Yeah, a lot of them don't even. We're right near Disney World.
Yeah, we're.
But
right.
A lot of them don't even go over there. This is better than.
They'd rather stay here than go, because there's no big long lines to wait through.
Yes.
Or anything here, but
and everything is free.
Everything is free. It does not cost them anything at all to stay here for the week.
Now, what about suppose they come from Europe or Israel or Asia?
Mm-hmm.
Do you take care of their flight?
No, the sponsoring institutions, whether it be Make-A-Wish or whatever institution or group sponsors them, they're responsible for getting them to Orlando.
Yes.
And home. But once they get to Orlando, then from then on, they stay here for a week at absolutely no cost to them at all. We have a 6-foot rabbit that's the mayor of the village here, Mayor Clayton. And Mayor Clayton tucks the children in at night.
The parents
can sign up to have Mayor Clayton come and tuck them in at night. It's really a week of heaven on earth for these children and their families.
It's so beautiful. And everything is free.
Everything is free.
And the food is delicious. In fact, you have some restaurants that are donating delicious food.
The food and the meals are all supplied by Perkins Family Restaurants.
Isn't that marvelous?
And they, their cooks and dishwashers and so forth are hired by Perkins, but all of the serving and cleaning up and so forth is done by volunteers here.
Yes, yes.
We have, like I've mentioned before, we have 2,000 volunteers that give of their time and their lives here at the village so that these children can have their wish come true. That's why we're here, to make children's wishes come true. You see, if you ask any little boy or little girl what they want to be when they grow up, the little boys will want to be firemen or policemen or ball players, and the little girls will want to be nurses or teachers or ballet dancers.
Yes.
It's their dream. Terminally ill children have dreams too.
Yes.
They're more immediate.
Yes.
They're more immediate.
Yes.
And the great majority of them, that wish and that dream is to meet Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
And we are here to fulfill that dream for them and their families.
And these brokenhearted parents want to see their child happy, even if just for a little while.
That's right. That's right.
But there is a place to pray here, and there's a chapel.
We have a beautiful chapel.
Many tears shed here in that chapel. Yes, many tears shed in that chapel.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I've had I had a wedding this week on Tuesday morning. I've had several weddings here. And unfortunately, I've had to officiate at a couple of funerals.
Well, this is a place of such hope and joy and happiness and love that I can understand why couples want to come here and get married.
That's right. It's a beautiful place, and the chapel is a beautiful chapel. It's a non-denominational chapel. A person of any faith from all over the world can come in and meet a loving, living God there. But the love of Christ, the love of God, is personified here at this Give Kids the World Village.
Yes.
In a way that I've never seen it anywhere else in my life. And I've been around this world a good long while.
Well, I've been talking today with Marty Martinson, the chaplain of Give Kids the World Village. Marty, it's been an honor to talk with you, and God bless you. I envy you. You've got a happy ministry here.
Yes, I do, and I thank you for having me with. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you, Marty.
Your throne and your kingly crown when you came to this earth that day. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for your holy nativity. Oh,
that was Frank Boggs, "You Left Your Throne and Your Kingly Crown When You Came to Earth for Me." Today's message is entitled, "A Story About God." Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. This gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. It said, Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took her as his wife. But he had no marital relationship with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Amen. Now, Matthew is the gospel writer for this lesson, and I hope you'll be as inspired by it as I have been just working with it. Now, just think of it. This is the story. It's our story about God. It's a story about Christ coming into the world. Without question, this is the most incredible and the most important event that has ever happened in all of human history. But I must tell you, this story is almost too simple to be true. The entry into the world was not a Macy's Day Parade or Rose Bowl Parade. There was no national announcement. But you and I have to remember that the Jews now were expecting this Messiah for nearly 10 centuries. Now, as far as the world was concerned, his arrival was very quiet, very silent. He comes into history just as a newborn child of a young girl. Mary, you recall, was just a teenager then. Matthew, though, seems to think that his readers already know a lot of the details of the story, but just think about how simple this story really is. Now, I realize that there is the unique mystery of the virgin birth, but even in that, the story is very simple. God came into the world as a newborn child. I read somewhere that the human baby is the most helpless creature ever born. Now, this story of a newborn child has been told for 20 centuries. And I know, you know, that if it were just a fraudulent rumor, surely someone would have forgotten it long years ago. Or at least, at best, you would find it tucked away somewhere on the back shelf of a big library. It might have even found a paragraph in some famous book called The History of the World. The truth is, this story is the most written about story that has ever been known. I mean, you think about it, that's incredible. The angel said that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Those words, I guess, have been ringing through my mind this week so much. And I've thought about how complicated the theology is that surrounds this story. And I wondered, how can people really understand? But somewhere, I began to get the real picture. You see, that's the whole idea of it. The simple entry into this world is what made it so incredible and so simple that everyone could understand and respond. A long time ago, 18 years ago, my sister-in-law gave birth to triplets. And I recall very vividly going that night to the hospital to see those three little miracles. Lots of people were gathered in front of those glass windows where the shiny stainless steel cribs were, and they stood like rows of toy red wagons. What a sight. And I remember one man said, oh, what are their names? Amy, Abby, and Emily. And of course, I couldn't begin to tell which one was which. In fact, even now, I can't hardly tell them apart. But the man had a little boy, and this is what I wanted to tell you. The little boy is, I guess, about 4 years old, and his mother had just given birth to their little sister. He and his daddy were pressing their noses against the glass and looking through the window at all the new babies. At one point, I saw the boy point to one of those cribs. And this is what that little four-year-old boy said. He said, Daddy, is that the baby Jesus? Well, friends, a hush happened at that window right then. It was just quiet. And all of us were trying to think, I guess, of some way to answer this profoundly innocent question. But the dad came through. He said, No, son, that's not him, but he must have looked a lot like that. Isn't that incredible? Well, even a child can identify with the birth of our Lord. Every couple at that window could understand what Mary and Joseph were going through. They knew the anxiety of waiting for the news. Was the baby okay? Those mothers could have easily understood the travail of a child of birth that Mary had. The fathers knew what it was like to see for the first time the trauma of labor, of giving birth. And they stood helplessly and watched and worried. You know, it may be a simple story, but it's such a powerful story. It is a story in which every human heart can find meaning. It's a story that gives hope to persons struggling for human rights in South Africa and so many places in the world. It's a story that pounded relentlessly in the heart of the church in the USSR. It gave them hope to never, ever give up. It's a story of hope and salvation for everyone. You see, when you think about it, birth and death are the two common denominators for all humanity. Jesus stands between these two mysterious events as the source of meaning for life and life forever. You know, I believe that God came and chose to come to us as he did, so that people could recognize that he came for them too. He did not come as half God and half human. He did not come as God disguised as a human. No. He came simply and vulnerable as a human being, as a newborn child. Yes, it is true his name is called Emmanuel. And I want you to remember that Jesus came to lead us to God, to demonstrate once and for all what God was really like. You know, the early church wanted to know, just like you and I want to know, can you trust God? Is God really with us? Well, friends, Matthew is teaching us here that God is here. And I want to urge you at this time of Advent that there are persons who lie suffering in hospital beds. I want you to think about them. Think about yourself. You know, if they can remember the story of this child, they'll know who Jesus was and that he came for them. That God himself has come to, and he suffered excruciating pain. They can remember that story. They can identify with him. And there are those who feel crushed by emotional pain. Well, Matthew's word will give them comfort because they will know that Jesus felt the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. Not that their pain will disappear, but they can find encouragement. They'll find strength because they will remember that he poured out his life for those who suffered. He cared for those who loved him, but he also cared for those who denied him, for those who hated him. He loved them all. You know, there are those who will feel the degradation of failure, but they will remember that Jesus spent 3 years of his life demonstrating the power of God's love and redemption, but finally only a handful of people would receive him. We live in a world, and I can't imagine any more desperate time in human history when we needed to know that God is with us. There are stories all around. If we can think of them, we can rediscover the presence of God. I remember some years ago, Luc Vintran, when I met him, he was probably 26 years old. When he was 25, he escaped Cambodia. Those were difficult days, and to get away, he had to leave his family, a wife and 4 children. Now, Luc found his way to Atlanta and somehow found our church, and we gave him a job as custodian. Luc worked in the church during the day, and at night he went to school trying to learn to speak English. I learned later that he was actually an excellent electrical engineer. But he took a job at the church because he couldn't find anything else, not being able to speak English. He worked for nearly 4 years trying to save up enough money to smuggle his wife and family out of Cambodia. And one occasion he made arrangements, and it was such a dangerous attempt. He had to send $4,000 or $5,000 to Cambodia, where a man would take his family at night. They would board a tiny boat and would have to travel nearly 500 miles at sea to a safe harbor. Many others had tried it. You remember probably reading in the newspaper about it, but they were captured by pirates, and the men were usually killed, and the women were raped and sometimes just tossed overboard. Just the thought of what could happen kept him awake of nights in fear. But Luc decided not to take the risk. And finally, there was arrangements made. And one evening, about a dozen years ago now, a young Cambodian engineer, a church custodian, stood at the international gate at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Joy bursting from his very soul as his wife and his 4 children came into sight, making their way to freedom and to their daddy and husband. You know, it had been nearly 8 years since Luc had seen his family. Now, today, this very day, friends, I don't know if Luc is a Christian by faith, but I can tell you that he has discovered by his own experience that God is with us. You see, there were scores of Christians from all sorts of places who prayed with him and actually provided the resources and the mechanism to get his wife and family here. Now, I do not know if he could even understand what they were saying when they were praying for him, but I'm convinced that he could feel their earnest desire to help because they cried and shouted for joy with him. They comforted him when it seemed hopeless, and they encouraged him not to give up. I don't know for sure, but I have the feeling that at Christmas this season that there is a Cambodian family, a mother, a father, and 4 teenage boys now who sit together worshiping as the story of a tiny baby who came to save the world is told and sung. And I know you'll be there. Pray with me. Lord God, help us to remember the story, the simple story that you came to be with us and to claim it for our lives and everyone we know. In the name of Christ, amen.
Yes, John, one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. It means God with us. I know an Asian who said, "When I found Jesus, I found God." Millions of people around the world can say that. When I found Jesus, I found God. How wonderful. On that first Christmas, an angel choir sang. They brought a song from heaven. And that song is still echoed around the world every week and every day of the year. The people who find Jesus find God and they sing. Christianity is a singing faith. Individuals sing personally of the joy they have discovered in finding Jesus, in finding God. We invite you, dear friend, to join that song and join that company of joyous souls who have found Christ and found God. He'll give you a song. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, I overheard a conversation, and my friend said those words. He said, "'Tis the season, you know." Now, I thought about how often I've heard that expression, "'Tis the season." It sounds like we only have to be in the Christmas spirit once a year for a month or two. Can you imagine what it would be like if we were in the Christmas spirit all year round? I think of all the acts of kindness and generosity that happen at Christmas. People go way out of their way to show Christ's love. Of course, the truth is that we are really challenged to be Christ's presence in the world every day, not just at Christmas. You know that. But our task is to tell the story, but also to be the story. Your Methodist Hour team is committed to tell the story everywhere we can and to be the story in the way we live our lives. Thank you for your prayers, your support. Please go to our website, MethodistHourInternational.com. My phone number is 678-488-2162. Christ's blessings be upon you. Amen.
May you have a joyous Christmas. And during this festive season, we invite you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.